is Pat Harris. I would like to say just a little bit of words about her. I heard her speak one time, and then I called her over to my office. I said, "Pat, I don't normally tell people this, but you just have to do this more often. I just feel like you have a calling for this." And, you know, she never disappoints. I will tell you, she has a beautiful home in town, and what I hear is she has an open-door policy. She serves many, many people in need. It's a great pleasure and an honor that we have her here, Miss Pat Harris.
Thanks, Reverend. Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Oh, no, come on down. It took some extra effort to get here, didn't it, this morning? So good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Yes. I want to talk about the only constant that there is in the universe, change. And before we came out this morning, Mona and I were in the office naming songs that were change, you know, had change in them. Do you have any idea? I mean, I bet you can think about 15 songs right off the bat that are about change and all different types of change. And the thing is, for me, I have to understand it is a constant. We try, or I try a lot, to try and to be in some sort of stasis or static point and keep going, "Oh, this, just slow it down," or "just stop, give me a moment," anything. And it never does. It never does. So I said, "Well, what is change?" And it just happens to be the thing that I'm writing a book about. And Scott, a few weeks ago, gave me the message, "It's not going to write itself. Sit down and write this book." And I said, "Well, let me share some of this with you folks." And I like to start out looking at some basic definitions, and so you can just sort of understand where I'm coming from and things. And so change basically is to make or become different. That's all it is. Make or become different. It's an alteration, perhaps it's a transformation, or it's a decision regarding a future choice or future course. And it's both mental, it's emotional / spiritual, and it involves action. Okay, now everybody knows these components of change, but going through the different pieces of it is a whole different thing, because we're all going to experience it differently and on an individual basis with meaning that is specific to ourselves. So my change is going to be different than your change, than your change, than your change. But we all may get to some similar place and look around and may be in some similar environment. But who we are is going to be different from when we started on that path. So when I look at it from a mental state, because you can't change unless you change your mind. I mean, that's the first thing that has to change. If you don't change your mind, or if you don't create a vision for yourself, nothing's going to change. It has to be a strong vision. So it's a choice. It's always a choice. People say, "I didn't have any choice. I had to change." No. You had a choice. You know, if that big dog slobbering and lunging at you, you have a choice. You can stand there. The big dog can jump on you, eat you, bite you, you know, do all those things. Or you can say, I'm leaving right now. And that's a choice. It could be a reactionary choice, but it's a choice, you know. And it's pretty conscious. We think that it's just like, "Oh, no, big dog, go." But it's a choice that's coming from our beliefs about previous behaviors that we might have seen from this type of dog lunging at people and things. But we're making a choice. And we also have choices that are intentional. In my life, I had to make an intentional choice to change. I had gone down a path that was not bringing life and vitality and joy and, just aliveness to me. And I said, I am going to intentionally chart a new course for myself. Some of it's reactionary because I'm in a place now where I don't want to be, but it's an intentional change. And I sat and I said, what do I want my life to look like? No holds barred, blue sky visioning. What do I want? What when I see this vision, do I feel a sense of enthusiasm? When I feel a sense of belonging, community, love, and above all else, when I have a sense of internal satisfaction in my life, just I'm satisfied. Now, I think a lot of folks, and I used to be like this, think about these big sky visions, and we all think the same thing. I want this new car. I want this house that is just like, whoa, out there, and it's beautiful, and everybody comes in the door and goes, wow, this is out there, it's beautiful. All the trappings. But what happens is that the trappings are only going to be reflective. And I have found that change, intentional change, I want to see myself differently. And then those who see me can take whatever they want from it from themselves. So maybe I'll have a different home, maybe not. Maybe I'll have a different vehicle, maybe not. But when you see me, you're going to see a change. Then we have the emotional part of change, and it's emotional / spiritual, because we all know, maybe you don't, but we do. We have two brains. You know we have two brains? We have a brain up here, and we have a brain in our gut. They have similar cells. We have brain cells in our gut, as well as up in here, in our cranial cavity. And the brain that's in our gut is our emotional and spiritual brain. You know, this is the seat of our individual power. Because we can think all we want to think, as long as we want to think it, about change. But if we're not feeling it, if we're not passionate about it, if we don't have those pieces involved in those thoughts, forget it. We're not going anywhere. None. We're going to sit there, and we call them daydreams. We don't call them visions then. We just call them daydreams. And then the other part that we have to do is that we do have to do something. We have to, like, physically do something. You have to write the book. You have to get up, speak, and share. You have to go down the road. Somehow or another, you got to move. You got to move. The change won't cement unless you're moving. The change won't grow unless you're moving. You have to get out of the stasis. You got to take the action. So if you do it as a reaction, which I know how to do that really well. I don't know about you. But if you do that, it's a very short-lived change. You jump out of the path of the big slobbering dog or growling dog or scary dog. But if it's intentional, it's an evolution of who you are. And that's the best kind of change. And I've been doing that probably quasi-consciously since I was 4 years old. I looked back at that and I saw that Spirit has always been putting me into places and situations where I had the option to change. And these weren't like small things. These were big things in terms of my life. It wasn't, oh, I'm going to Mr. Banks's little candy store after church, and do I want a Tootsie Roll or do I want a Mars bar? No, it was not that level of change. It was whole life, cultural, economic, racial, educational, spiritual, you name it. I have gotten those opportunities for change. So have you. Whether you take them or not is up to you, but we all get those choices. Maybe not as I sometimes have to go, am I real hard-headed or something? Why do I have to get them so big? Other people who make shifts and changes, they just get a little hint and they go, okay, okay, and they go. But that for me doesn't seem to happen. But I do know why I resist change. I don't know why you resist change, but I will resist change. At the drop of a hat, I will resist change. And it's because we all grow up with some kind of patterning overlay on us. And that's when we're children, gives us a sense of belonging, a sense of safety, perhaps security, maybe not security, but there is a sense of this is known. And in the known, sometimes there is some level of safety. And so I have trouble changing when I finally go, God, I gotta change again? I was just getting really comfortable with this over here. Or I really like that way of being. That was really a nice way of being. Why do I have to change now? But I resist. And now I'm learning, don't resist, because of that old saying, what you resist
persists.
Okay, say it a little louder.
Persist.
What you resist persists. And not only does it persist, it grows. In our world right now, we have some situations going on. And people are saying, come on, Pat, get out there, get in the streets with us, you know, do this, do that, da, da. I said, I'm not going to do that. All that is like more gas on the flame. I'm going to see a different world. I'm going to join Louis Armstrong and sing What a Beautiful World. I'm going to look at those who see me and project a certain pattern from their brain as to who or what they think I am, and what they're going to get back is Louis Armstrong. It's no fun for them. It's no fun. But I have learned that the power of love is the strongest power in the universe. The universe is love. And if we latch on to the strongest power in the universe, we're unstoppable. We really are. So if we change through love rather than fear and resistance, oh, it's a whole different ride. It's the difference between riding around the farm on a little dirt bike and getting out on I-85 in a big Honda luxury cruiser motorcycle. Huge difference. Huge difference. So we just need faith. That's all. We just need to understand and know. Because faith, you can't see ahead, but you do know that it all comes to the betterment. One way or the other, even when it looks like pure tragedy. But I wanted to finish up by sharing my little story of change for Palm Sunday. Now, I know in the Christian tradition, Jesus came in on the donkey, and everybody had palm leaves, and it was a very triumphant entry. And 5 days later, things had changed pretty dramatically. But this morning, I wanted to wear a pair of my sister's sandals, and I could not find them anywhere. And then when I looked up, I went, I'm late! Get out of the house! Ever had those moments? So I jump up out of the house, I call Reverend Connie, and I'm like, I'm on my way. I'm coming. I know I am. I'm going to be there. I may be just a little tad late, but I'm going to get there. I know it. I go blasting out of my neighborhood and get to Duke Street, which is that main north-south thing. I'm rolling. You know, no time to waste. I'm a country kid. I don't know if that means anything to you if you grew up in a city. But if you grew up out in the country, you know country kids can drive. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. And I was blowing. And I was just like, no cops. I get up to Duke and Main and go, oh. We had a horrible, horrible thing happen in Durham. The street is still closed. I said, oh. And when you see it, it like grabs you at the gut. And I went, okay. And I was sitting there, I was going, do I go left? Do I go right? How do I get around this? I gotta go. And so I go, I'll go right. I'll go through the whole tobacco thingy and swing up and get on the other side of it near Cleveland Holiday and swing back into Duke Street. No! All the streets now have temporary, you can't go this way, and it pushes you down into downtown. Well, what's in downtown today? Yes! Yes! You can't get there from here. And I go, okay, turn around, go this other way. And have you ever noticed that when you are in the biggest hurry, there is somebody that you can't get around who's going 3 miles an hour because they're trying to figure out change as they're going and process it. You don't process change while you're going. You go. And I had to follow this car all the way back to get to Buchanan. And they're going. I'm serious. And they're sitting there. And I'm like going, let me get around you. I'll hold your hand. We'll go. I cannot get around this car. And I'm looking at my clock going, I got to get there. I get finally around, get back on Duke Street, blowing out. Well, what's on Duke Street near the stadium?
A fair
with Ferris wheels and traffic and people wanting to turn or sit there and gawk and go, well, are we going to go over there or not? I don't know, Gladys. What do you want to do? I finally get out of there, blow past Eno River and all of that kind of stuff. And I'm hauling it up. And here comes, I'm coming up to Infinity Road, Ladder Road, Infinity Road. And there are these two little putt-putt cars pacing each other at 30 miles an hour. I can't go right. I can't go left. I can't get around them. And they're having a good time. It's a beautiful Sunday morning. And I finally said, okay, I give up. I will get there when I get there. I'm not going to harm myself or any other people because I drive a pretty good sized vehicle and it's fast and it's nimble and it could hurt people. I could hurt people. And I said, I stop. Whatever this is, I have to stop my resistance. And I stopped my resistance. I hit Lada Infinity. Everything vaporized. And I put the hammer down. Shooting up the road. And, of course, there was still a few stragglers in that slowdown parade. And I did that little shoop, shoop, shoop maneuver. And then they all woke up and went, oh, we're going to go with her. And that's what happens with change. When you get clear, when you get focused, when you get rolling, all of a sudden you look back and that whole crowd that was like puttering along, they are hauling right up there with you. And I crossed this hill up near Black Horse Run, and the sheriff was sitting over there in the woods, and I saw him. And I just took my foot off the gas. All these people shot past me. And I said, you can lead. I know where I'm going. I don't think you saw the challenge. But the sheriff was just like, what was that? Oh, they must have had to get around that little putt-putt gray truck that's going there and stuff. And the thing is, I got here on time. I had so many obstacles, but I got here on time. And that's the power of change. You always get to where you're going, and when you get there, it's always the right time. So, if you want, we can sing Louis Armstrong with each other. I see seas of green, clouds of blue. Because what we have to go through to get to the change is worth it. It's worth it. Be blessed, and thank you so much.
Thank you. It's beautiful. You know, I almost had that song for today.